Chapter 2. Pointing the Finger. I go to work in a nondescript office in central London, south of the river and east of the sun, I can't say precisely where, located above a row of shops. It's a temporary home for the department, and it's officially called the New Annex, probably because it was thrown up in 1964. It consists of three floors of characterless 60s concrete, piled up above a C&A, and a couple of other boring high street stores, like a bad perm on a grocer's granny. It used to belong to the post office, back in the day, and nothing you can see through the windows from outside is really there. The weather is just as unpleasant as yesterday, if not worse. Muggy and humid, warm enough to be annoying, but not hot enough to provoke businesses into paying for air conditioning. And there's a stale tang of vehicle exhausts and fermenting dog shit underlying every noisome breath I take. Wasps buzz around the overflowing litter bins on the street outside the office as I nip into the staff entrance to the store, then push through a plywood door labeled Building Maintenance Only and up a whitewashed stairwell with peeling linoleum treads. A lot of people go through that door every day, and they don't look much like store employees, but for some reason nobody seems to notice. Or more accurately, they can't notice. At the top of the stairs there's another door. This one's a bit more substantial. The wards make my skin crawl and send pins and needles singing up my arm as I push it open, but they recognize me as someone who belongs here, for which I am profoundly grateful. A couple of years back, a gang of thugs decided to ram raid us and steal the office computers. Boy, did they get an unpleasant surprise. I slouch over to reception. "Are there any messages for me today?" I ask Rita. Rita, who is about a year younger than my mother, and about as maternal as an Iron Maiden, stares at me in brassy-eyed surprise. "Iris says she wants to see you if you showed up today," she declares. "Are you signed off sick or something?" "No, but I might be contagious." "Be off with you." She turns back to her web browser, dismissing me, and I take a deep breath and head for Iris's office. Iris is my... how to describe our relationship accurately... person from Porlock? Morlock? Latest line manager. I seem to get through about one a year. It wasn't always so, but Andy got moved sideways into research and development, and before him, Harriet and Bridget are... long-term indisposed. They took on Angleton and lost, epic level. I actually work directly for Angleton these days, but Angleton isn't a manager according to our org charts. He's a DSS, and DSSs are too important to burden with boring administrative duties like overseeing staff performance appraisals. So, although I work for him, I have to have an actual manager to report to, at least in theory, and that's where Iris comes into the frame. She handles my interface with human resources, payroll, and general admin stuff. She doesn't know everything I do, but she knows I work for Angleton, and it's her job to be my manager on paper. And she's good at it. Her office door is ajar as I turn the corner between the reception area and the coffee station. She's the kind of manager who's happy to sacrifice an outside office with a window in return for an interior one that lets her keep an eye on everyone entering and leaving her little fiefdom, which should tell you something. Her attitude is one of those irregular verbs peculiar to bureaucracies. If you like her, she's attentive, and if you don't, she's paranoid. "You wanted to see me, boss?" Iris waves me at the seat opposite her desk. She's leaning back with feet up and phone clamped between ear and shoulder, nodding along unconsciously to the beat of her unseen caller's narrative.
"Yes, I understand. You can use his office, I think. When? 30 minutes? Excellent, thanks. Yes, and you too. Bye."
She puts the receiver down, then hits the divert to voicemail button on her handset.
"How are you feeling, Bob?"
She looks concerned.
"Like shit."
I don't see any need or room to dissemble.
"I came in because I've got a report to file." "Are you sure that's wise?"
She raises a penciled-in eyebrow.
"I've given you my presenteeism lecture, haven't I?"
Bless her, she has. She's the first manager I've ever had who explained to me in words of one syllable that she'd be really pissed off if she caught me skulking around the office while I'm feeling ill. This is the laundry. They don't fire you for calling in sick. In fact, they can't fire you. All they can do is give you scut work. Back in my first year, I took 2 weeks off, once, just to try it on. I ended up going back to work when I got bored with counting the cracked tiles on the bathroom wall.
We still maintain this endless pretense that we're the same as any other government department, clock-punching time misers all. But it's not true. We do things differently in the laundry. And so does Iris. And for a blessing, she admits it. I nod. Good, she says briskly, her accent so clear she could get a job as a BBC news anchor. So, she pauses. Something went wrong yesterday, and you've got a report to file. Want to fill me in on it? So I know what to expect? So I know what to expect is Iris speak form, so I can cover your ass. Yeah, I fucked up a routine out-of-the-office job for Angleton. I take a deep breath. One dead bystander in front of witnesses. Luckily, the only direct eyewitness is already sworn to Section 3. Section 3 of the Official Secrets Act, which covers our activities, is itself classified top secret under the terms of Section 2, making knowledge of it by unauthorized persons an offence, and we enforce it ferociously. I've got to file an R60, and then operational oversight are going to be calling the shots. There'll probably be an inquiry. I may be suspended pending the outcome. Oddly, it's a lot easier to say this to Iris than it was to Mo. Iris watches me for a few seconds. Oh, you poor thing, she nods to herself. Was it bad? It was stupid, I say between gritted teeth. Stupid, stupid. If I'd noticed the entanglement channel between the airframe and the control panel, or warded both artifacts at the same time, it wouldn't have happened. And if she'd opened the door 5 seconds sooner or later, it wouldn't... Shit. If I'd been told what the airframe had been used for, I wouldn't have... I trail off. Save it for the auditors, Iris says tiredly. She takes her booted feet off the desk, then leans forward. That phone call I just took was your...